This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It's almost Friday. Phew. When was this week ever going to end? It just seems like it keeps going and an infinite amount of stupid things, right? And I mean stupid things coming from our president. Folks, you're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I am your host, Maggie Dawn. You can find me and Cardi behind the board here every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. If you're more of a visual learner, please do not hesitate to check out Civic Media's YouTube channel, where you can watch me and the entire lineup of Civic Media's talk hosts from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Civic Media's YouTube channel. You can also watch me at Maggie Dawn Show on the Gram, on the Book of Faces, and on the Twitter. I'm calling it Twitter because I'm not a Musk fan. Things are far too musky. You know what I'm saying? And not in a good way. We got a jam-packed show for everybody. You're going to want to keep it locked here for all of the 2 hours. We've got Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez joining us at 2:30 to talk about Governor Evers' State of the State address yesterday, but maybe to talk a little bit more about the nonsense that Robin Voss spewed following that. I mean, I don't know. I challenge everybody out there listening. Does anybody really like Robin Voss? I don't know. It doesn't.
Ew.
Yeah, not really. Even conservatives don't like Robin Voss. Donald Trump doesn't like Robin Voss. Michael Gableman even hates Robin Voss. The list goes on and on. So we got the lieutenant governor, and this afternoon, let's see. I gotta refer to my show notes. I'm so excited. We've also got assistant adjunct professor Pat Sobkowski from Marquette's Poli Sci Department, Marquette University's Poli Sci Department, to talk to us about what is birthright citizenship, where did it come from, how does it operate, can Donald Trump wave his magic wand or his big old Sharpie pen, you know, and not only change what the actual path of hurricanes are, but, you know, wipe away entire provisions of the Constitution in one fell pen swoop. So we got Professor Sobkowski here. He's going to be here at 3 p.m. And I am going to springboard off of that conversation because this was some big news this week. At 3:30, I'm going to be discussing Donald Trump's threat to throw into jail local law enforcement officers for basically following the 10th Amendment. Okay? It is pretty insane. And listen, folks, if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that I'm the former general counsel or chief legal officer for Milwaukee County. I was around doing that job back in Trump 1.0 during that first administration. He tried to pull a similar stunt like this back then. And yours truly, right here, shut him down, shut his Department of Justice down. So I have all the goodies on that and this most current threat. I'm going to break all that down for you. We're going to drop some links in the show notes so you can see my prior work on this issue if you're a super nerd and you want to check it out. So we're going to have all of that. I was going to tackle that top of the show, but because we've got the lieutenant governor coming on, I'm moving it to 3:30. So that is our lineup for today. Let me jump in. Yesterday, I spent an hour with each and every one of you talking about the fact that Donald Trump's flurry of performative political, frankly, marketing blitz since January 20th is all huff and puff. It is no substance. There is nothing happening. There's no executive order that's actually articulating a specific plan to help the middle class. Most importantly, about freaking housing prices. We talked about it for an hour, and one of our incredible listeners, Kimber from Muskoka, texted me yesterday, hey, Kimber, thank you for that, and said, hey, Maggie, I thought I read an executive order that had something to do with housing prices. And I said, listen, I'm always happy to get fact-checked live on the air by my listeners, and I will follow up when I get things wrong. I'll apologize, try to get it right the next day. So I took that little homework assignment from Kimber in Muskoka, and I went and I checked it out. And here's what I found. It wasn't an executive order. It was what is called an executive memorandum, which is basically nothing. So there's executive memorandum. That's one thing. There are presidential directives. There are executive orders. And then there's like presidential proclamations. People get these things confused all the time, and they have different substantive and legal consequences and merit to them. So I'll get to what Donald Trump actually said about housing in a moment, because it's dumb and won't help, especially given the problems that I outlined yesterday. But I thought I would start us all by just a level set. So executive orders do have putative legal authority, or they purport to be effectively legally binding. Executive orders typically have to be executing things that are clearly an executive branch power, a presidential power. They typically cannot be contrary to enacted legislation. And they typically exist in this, well, there's a set of laws in the Constitution. How? It's about the how of the executive branch executing faithfully the laws of this nation. Because there's a lot of gap in there. It shouldn't, in general, change regulations that have gone through the notice and comment period and have been duly enacted as a question of administrative law, but sometimes they do. But to think of it this way, executive orders are about the how the laws that we already have in the Constitution are effectuated or executed, again, by the, quote, executive branch of government. Executive memoranda look like executive orders, but they don't cite any legal authority for what they say. They're not really binding. They don't get published in the Federal Register. In other words, they're a bunch of huff and puff. All sound and fury signifying nothing, okay? Now, the most potent of all, and presidential, not directives, presidential proclamations are things like, I declare it Carti Day because Carti is an amazing producer. That's a presidential proclamation. They're useless too, okay? So this was an executive memorandum, which means all sound and fury signifying nothing. And you can tell that when you go read the thing. So again, thank you, Kimber. Folks, if you have questions or comments or you want to fact check me, I love that. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm going to get to what was actually in this executive memorandum in just a moment, but I got to tease what we're going to newly roll out tomorrow. We're calling this segment the Carti and Callers Ask Maggie. And we're going to start doing this every Friday at 3 o'clock. Okay. And here's the deal. You can text me questions. Just tell me when you text in on the text line. Hey, Maggie, this is a question for Carti and the Callers Ask Maggie questions, which we will do every Friday at 3 o'clock. So you can text us 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Just note that, hey, this. You can call in during that period of time on Fridays. And we've set up a special email for you so that you can email me your questions. We're going to try to get to at least 5 questions every week. And here's the catch. I only have 90 seconds to answer. Yeah, because y'all know I like to talk. I mean, so we gotta put it, consider it Maggie Dawn like bumper bowling, right? We gotta put some limits on me because otherwise, you know, I'll go off. So I get 90 seconds to answer your questions. Try to keep them topical or, hey, just I don't get this. But it can be about the current events of the week. We ask the questions to be in good faith, trying to make us all smarter, doing it together, things that engender good and meaningful conversation. Maybe it'll highlight, if I don't have enough time, a great topic for me to cover the next week and to do a deeper dive. This is a direct way for you to impact what I talk about, not just for those 90 seconds, but potentially content for that next week. So I invite you all to participate. Again, that's going to be every Friday at 3 o'clock. And here's that email address. Get your pens and paper ready. We're also going to put it in the show notes for today. Here's that email address. AskMaggie@civicmedia.us. I know it's really creative. AskMaggie@civicmedia.us. You can remember that. You'll be able to participate this way every Friday directly. But of course, as you all know, if you've been regular listeners, I do my absolute damnedest every day to hit and acknowledge the text messages that are coming in, including criticisms, including our conservative friends that I love to engage with on this show. So you can always do that every day during the show. The call, the phone, and text line, again, is 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. So let's get into what Donald Trump had to say in this executive memorandum. Anytime you hear that, be like, it is meaningless. And when you read it, it is meaningless. I'm going to skip all of the like Biden slamming because most of it is just Biden slamming. It's like, you're not doing anything. You're just slamming the guy that you beat in an election that's not president anymore. I don't know how that helps the middle class, Cardi. I don't know how him talking more trash about Joe Biden helps anybody.
Hey, that's Trump. That's what he does.
Right? And of course, we got bird flu. Price of eggs keeps going up. I think we're like up 37% year over year. I thought he was going to take care.
$90 for eggs now.
Yeah, like $4.50 if you can get them. I thought he was going to fix all this stuff on day one. I also thought the Ukraine war was going to end on day one. Weird. We somehow missed that deadline. Funny. I am going to read to you the handful of words in this executive memorandum that actually address housing. And the thing will speak for itself. In other words, I will read you the words. We can probably count them all together. And then we can decide together whether or not Donald Trump is actually going to do anything about housing. By the way, there's a little Latin phrase in the law that says the thing speaks for itself. In other words, it needs no explanation. It's res ipsa loquitur. Donald Trump's do-nothingness on housing is res ipsa loquitur, and it's going to hurt our families, your family, and people in Wisconsin in a very real way, all of his broken promises to the middle class. We're going to discuss that next. Don't go anywhere. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Show better every time we engage in the great conversations that I hope you have come to know, love, and trust Civic Media to provide you every day. You can find me here every day from 2 to 4 p.m. all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Always make sure you go get that app for free, crystal clear, wherever you may be. I come to you, of course, from the 540 WAUK in southeastern Wisconsin. You can check out and find your Civic Media local talk radio station by going to our website or checking out the app. Have fun with it, y'all. All right. We're talking about Donald Trump's do-nothingness on housing. He promised the middle class, everything's going to be better. I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to make things affordable. You're going to be perfectly protected. Everything's going to be fine. And in these first 4 days, he's done literally nothing on housing. And yesterday, a texter pointed out, hey, he did do something. There was an executive order on it. I explained last segment. It wasn't an executive order. It was an executive memorandum, which means it's a bunch of nothing. So let's read together. I have it. Would you be surprised? I did some homework. So if we just skip the Biden slamming, legitimately, here's the bullet point on housing. Drastically lower the cost of housing and expand housing supply. Wow. Hey, yeah. What? Drastically lower the cost of housing and expand housing supply. That's what it says. Yeah, like, yes. How are you doing that, sir? Generously speaking, the only thing that I can read in this that speaks at all to how he proposes to, quote, drastically lower the cost of housing and expand housing supply is this part. Americans are unable to purchase homes at historic rates, which, by the way, the syntax of that is just stupid. Wait a minute. Are we tracking the rate of the inability to purchase homes? Like, what? That's not actually a thing that gets tracked. But setting aside that that's just a stupid way to talk about it, Americans are unable to purchase homes at historic rates, in part due to regulatory requirements that alone account for 25% of the cost of constructing a new home. First of all, that's garbage. That's just not true. You think like parts, materials, and labor and the land might, you know, probably make up more than 75% of the stinking cost of a home? Give me a break. Just dumb. That's it. His solution to drastically lower the cost of housing and expand housing supply is deregulate. Deregulate what specifically? Through what agency? And just a reminder, remember all the things that we talked about yesterday that are contributing? Housing crisis, a shortage, and all of this massive price inflation, especially post-COVID, is things like price-fixing software that is now ubiquitous in the rental industry that amounts to a fair trade violation, right? RealPage, talked about it yesterday. Consolidation in the housing market because private equity and hedge fund firms are buying up millions of units, single-family homes, reducing the supply, driving up costs. Remember, when supply goes down, prices go up. That's basic microeconomics. So if you have these massive trillion-dollar, $10 trillion allocators, investors like BlackRock, these hedge funds, these private equity companies, and they're snapping up all the single-family homes in highly desirable areas, yeah, that's reducing the supply of homes. And they're doing this with large-scale apartment buildings, multifamily units, all this. They're reducing the supply. All else being equal, supply goes down, prices go up. Oh, I know the answer to these anti-competitive practices. Oh, deregulate private equity and hedge funds and the housing industry. Allow more price fixing, more consolidation because we're deregulating. Yes, Donald Trump, that's going to make it better. It's just stupid. Let's count the total number of words of Donald Trump's big plan to solve the housing crisis. Shall we do it together? Drastically lower the cost of housing and expand housing supply. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We got 10 words there. And Americans are unable to purchase 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. I'm going to call it about like 35 words. That's what he's given you and me on how he's going to solve America's housing crisis. 35, 40 words max. What an insult to the intelligence of every single person that voted for him. It's insulting is what it is. That's no plan. That ain't even concepts of a plan, sir. Failure. That's what I give that. I'm going to grade him. New idea, Cardi. Maggie Dawn grades Donald Trump on his promises to the middle class. We should do it maybe once a month. I'll give an update on the grade. Maybe he does a little better. We'll talk about that. I'll give him credit where it's due. But right now, sir, you get an F on housing. An absolute F. He's worried about tariff policy and lowering taxes for the rich. Oh, and of course, let us not forget that. He slaps 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico and another 10% on China. What do you think that does to the cost of the supplies that are necessary to build the homes? That one freaked me out, Cardi.
That's what it does to the cost.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you have something that sounds like it drives things up? But it blows it up. It like, this is all bad. I do want to give a little, I don't know if it's love. I'm going to acknowledge one of our texters who basically said, well, at least he's not trying to shut down a pipeline that provides good-paying union jobs. Listen, we can actually have a policy argument about how to ensure a sufficient amount of energy, how to support family-supporting jobs, union jobs, how to bolster union membership. Donald Trump ain't doing that. There's a legitimate environmental regulatory question about pipelines. We can have that argument. But Texter, you ain't saying nothing in defense of Donald Trump when it comes to housing policy. And if you want to criticize Joe Biden, he was dealing with a divided Congress. Divided government. Donald Trump, he's got all branches. So how's he?
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Everything is everything, y'all. Feel like clapping your hands, patting your feet, shout. Go ahead.
The revolution will not be televised. Everybody, welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. In addition to real news and great conversation, we also have fabulous guests. And my current guest is no exception. It is the amazing Lieutenant Governor of this great state of Wisconsin, Sarah Rodriguez. Welcome back to The Maggie Dawn Show, Sarah. Nice to have you.
Thank you for having me.
You are en route. I love it, folks. If you're watching us on YouTube,
yes,
or at the Maggie Dawn Show, at Maggie Dawn Show on Facebook, X, or Insta, you can see the Lieutenant Governor. Thank you so much for making time while you're jetting about trying to get the people's business done for the state of Wisconsin. I appreciate it greatly.
Yeah, it is. It's good. I've been traveling around the state today talking to folks, and I'm currently en route again back to Waukesha.
Let's just jump right in. The governor has declared 2025 the year of the kid, which I love. Can you tell us what the governor means by that, and tell us a little bit about his priorities for your kids, my kids, and everybody's kids here in the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, I was really excited to listen to the governor's State of the State last night, and what I heard is a governor who is talking about what he really cares about, what he's really passionate about. We know that Governor Evers is an educator. We know that kids are very, very close to his heart. And he says it constantly, what's good for our kids is good for the state. And he means that. And so what he's putting into his budget is going to be a lot of dollars to be able to make sure that we are fully funding our public schools, that we are going to have the type of services that parents need within those schools, such as mental health services. And he's going to be reducing costs for families. So making sure that kids don't go hungry during the day, that is something that they're able to get during the school day, breakfast and lunch. these are common sense types of things that we should be doing in Wisconsin. Like I said, I was in Eau Claire today, La Crosse today, I was in Black River Falls. When I talk to people, number one, they want us to work together, right? To make sure that we're doing what good things for Wisconsinites. But number two, they want us to do common sense solutions. They want to have a little bit more money in their pockets, be able to take care of their families, and they want their kids to be safe. And that is what Governor Evers is promising in his budget.
I think it's incredibly, it tells us a lot about the priorities of the GOP that Robin Voss has, every time he's been asked, said, well, we're going to object to any increased funding for public schools and education, which is insane. And his excuse for this is, well, last budget cycle, we made a once in a generation investment in public schools. And my response has always been, yes, because you've been systematically doing multiple defundings of public education, which proportionately, at least in my opinion, as an economist and a lawyer and somebody that went to public school, hurts rural public schools. Yeah. On a near-term basis, more than it hurts the larger public school system, because it's so much harder to absorb those cuts. What do you say to Robin Voss and conservatives that are balking at making these renewed investments in our kids here in Wisconsin?
That they need to listen to their constituents. They need to go out, knock on doors in the communities, and talk to people. People want us to actually fund our public schools, and the proof is in the pudding. Because people have been going to referendum all across the state. They're asking voters what they want in terms of being able to raise their own taxes for their school system. And they have overwhelmingly said yes. So you know what? The community wants schools. They should be listening to their constituents to do what they want.
I couldn't agree with you more, Lieutenant Governor. Another thing that the vast majority of Wisconsinites support that is very common sense are red flag laws when it comes to common sense gun regulation. Recent Marquette poll finding 81% of Wisconsinites across party lines want common sense gun regulation. The governor, in the wake of our tragic Abundant Life shooting and yet again another school shooting yesterday in Tennessee, the passing of a colleague, City of Milwaukee alderperson Jonathan Brostoff by suicide. A lot of press coming from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about how frequently guns are used in suicide deaths here in the state. Tell us more about what the governor is proposing specifically and why folks that are hunters and recreational users of firearms need not be worried that the governor's not proposing to take your weapons. What is the governor proposing?
What he's really proposing is that we have red flag laws. So family members, police could actually be able to temporarily take away people's firearms if they feel that they are a danger to themselves or a danger to others. And what he talked about with that awful shooting that we had in Dane County is that girl, that young girl was actually communicating with somebody in California who was probably planning something similar. But California had laws to be able to take away temporarily those firearms so that they wouldn't commit that crime, that they couldn't go into a school and do something similar. That's what he's asking about here. The other one is to make sure that we have a waiting period for firearm purchases. So we know that if people have to wait between the time that they want to purchase the gun and then they're able to pick up that gun, it reduces suicides and it reduces homicides. So and we're not asking people to not be able to get a firearm. We're just asking them to wait a couple of days to make sure that we can prevent some of these things from occurring. And the other one is to be able to put yourself on a list.
Yes.
To say, hey, I'm concerned about my own mental health. I am concerned about that I may do something to harm myself. So I want to put myself on a list. So if I go out and purchase a firearm, these are the people who I want to be notified so that your family can know and they can come and they can help you.
All common sense things, including a proposal for universal background checks, as well as closing the gun show loophole. I'll just say this. Milwaukee County used to host a gun show in a county building. They stopped doing that years ago while I was still at the county. One of the reasons why is that the, quote, gun show loophole, you can basically buy the parts of a gun, skip any, all kinds of different, the de minimis regulations that we have, you can completely get around them by effectively buying the parts that you need, as well as an instruction manual that tells you how to assemble the gun, how to take a semi-automatic and make it fully automatic at a gun show. Again, all of these things are very common sense, and the majority of Wisconsinites want them. What has been the response from the GOP, Madam Lieutenant Governor, and why is that just silly?
They basically are saying that it's a non-starter, that they're not going to discuss this at all, that this is not a problem that we need to address in the state of Wisconsin. And again, if you talk to people, you knock on their doors and you ask them about this type of legislation, even gun owners want this type of legislation. We know that it's something that Wisconsinites want. So that has been very, very frustrating to me to have the Republican response consistently be, we're not even going to discuss it. Yeah. You can't get, even if you put the legislation out there, we're not going to give it a hearing. We're not going to be able to hear from people in the community. We're not going to be able to bring it to the floor to see. There's a whole new legislature because now we have fair maps. I know that there are likely people on the other side of the aisle that understand that these are common sense regulations. And he just doesn't want to even bring it to a conversation or to a vote.
Let me ask you a particular about something that Speaker Voss said, because I found it so repugnant. But to your point, Madam Lieutenant Governor, 932 people, Wisconsinites, died by suicide in 2022, and 60% of those were killed themselves using a firearm. This is the problem. It is not a Republican problem. It's not a Democratic problem. It's not a I'm not a voter problem. This is a problem. And someone that everyone that's listening, someone that you know and love, is right now struggling with likely a serious mental health issue. So this is an everybody thing, which made what Robin Voss said in response to a reporter's question yesterday about the suicide of Jonathan Brostoff so disgusting. Here's what he said. Of course, we all feel bad for Jonathan's death, but to somehow use it as a cheap political stunt to get legislation passed that the governor knows is not going to happen really demeans Jonathan's memory. You say what in response, Madam Lieutenant Governor?
I think that's shameful. I served with Representative Brostoff. I went to his funeral. I spoke to his family, and they want us to pass this type of legislation. This is not politicization of his death. What this is a response to somebody we knew personally who used a firearm to commit suicide. And what his family wants is that if they can prevent one death with common sense legislation, then they know that they would be honoring Representative Brostoff's memory.
Folks, we're talking with Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. We've been reviewing the governor's State of the State address last night that Civic Media carried in special coverage. We got a great question for one of our very smart listeners while we have been talking, Lieutenant Governor. Tiffany from River Falls says, what can be done to counteract Republican blockades of what is common sense legislation that the vast majority of Wisconsinites want? If you could speak to each of our listeners right now, Lieutenant Governor, what would you ask them to do to get past, to push through Robin Voss's tone deaf, out of touch blocking of the things that all Wisconsinites need and want to see done by the legislature and the governor's office?
So, number one, know who your legislators are and that your representatives and your senators, and particularly our Republican legislators, let them know what your thoughts are. But also, if they are Democratic legislators and you know that they're supportive, please reach out as well, because there were times where people would tell me, well, I didn't reach out to your office because I knew you would support this legislation. But I read all of those things and I can come to the floor and say the vast majority of people who emailed me want us to pass this type of legislation. We have elections coming up. We have a very important Supreme Court election coming up. Right now, we have fair math. If we do not, if Susan Crawford it does not win the Supreme Court election, we may go back to gerrymandering, and then we have almost a supermajority of Republicans again, and we have no chance of being able to pass some of this legislation that we know Wisconsinites want. So in 2026, the entire assembly is going to be up again for election. We have many people in the Senate. Half of the Senate is up for re-election. Figure out if that's in your district and make sure that you've got somebody who good who wants to run in that legislation. If we can be able to turn the House, turn the Senate, we're going to be able to bring this type of legislation to the floor.
Thank you so much. That is Madam Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Her message to each and every one of you is know who your state assembly person is. Know who your state senator is. And regardless of whatever letter comes after their name, if you believe in common sense gun legislation to reduce the number of firearm suicides in the state, if you believe that every single one of the children here in the state of Wisconsin, including your children, deserve to go to schools, public schools, that are well-funded, that can give them the mental health support that our kids so desperately need, especially following the COVID pandemic, and to go to school with full bellies so that they can be ready to learn every day, pick up the phone, get on your computer, please call and email your assembly person and your senator, regardless of their party, and tell them that you support Governor Evers' agenda, including additional funding for public education, common sense gun regulation, support for child care, expansion of Medicaid and Badger Care in the state. Let's get it done, folks. Let's push past and beyond Robin Voss's intransigence. Thanks so much, Madam Lieutenant Governor. Folks, we're going to come back, and I'm going to give you Robin Voss's office number and email. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thank you, Maggie.
Thank you.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You know who is on your side? Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. My most humble thanks to the Lieutenant Governor for making time in her busy, busy schedule to join us here on The Maggie Dawn Show. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. I'm the host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show. We talked about the governor's State of the State address, as well as Robin Voss's anemic, ridiculous, off-point, out-of-touch nonsense response. Because that's what it is. And I promised you all that I would give you Robin Voss's office number and email, which we will also put in our show notes for today. Because I want you to flood his phone lines and his email to tell him, A, what you said about Jonathan Brostoff is disgusting. B, properly fund public education, including major investments in our kids' mental health, major investments in a meal program so that every child has a full belly. I don't know about you, but when I'm hangry, I can't get anything done. And you do not want to be around me. I can't imagine what it's like for a hungry kid. No way you can learn at school if you're hungry. To support common sense gun regulation. All of these things and more, every single one of us deserves. Oh, and this little tidbit. Sure, if you're considering tax cuts, that's fine. But don't you dare give a tax cut to the ultra wealthy in this state. Don't you do it, Robin Voss. Don't you try that stuff with us anymore. We're on to the grift, okay? We see you. I see you, boo. No more tax cuts for the ultra wealthy. All right, everybody got your pen and pencil ready? Today's one of those days where I'm just dropping all kinds of things for you. Here is Robin Voss's Madison office telephone number. There's two of them. One's a toll-free. Here's the direct line, 608-237-9663. 9133. That's 608-237-9133. Here's the toll free, 888-529-0033. And of course, his email. Fire off an email every day. Find yourself with a few minutes waiting for a coffee in line somewhere. Or as they say in Britain, online. I've never understood that. Are you on a line? Is there a line drawn on the pavement? No. If you find yourself with a couple of minutes, firing off an email to Wisconsin Speaker Robin Voss and tell him to get things done for regular Wisconsinites. His email is rep.voss@legis.wisconsin.gov. One more time, it's rep.voss@legis.wisconsin.gov. Go get them. They need to hear from you, right? And by they, I mean every elected official, no matter what their party is. Because one of the things that I've always hated, and I haven't talked about this, I don't think, since the first of the year, is performative politics. And I don't mean the theater of politics. We all know politics is theater. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about when I use the phrase performative politics is this. Doing something that you either know won't work or will actually hurt your constituents or has no meaning at all because it'll get your name in a headline. Think the Ryan Clancy's of the world. And by the way, yes, that's me criticizing a Democrat. Performative politics definition one. You do things that you know are harmful or will have no effect or that are meaningless in some way because it gets you a headline. Performative politics definition one. Performative politics definition two. This is Robin Voss. Every day. All day when he's actually working. Because, you know, the Wisconsin legislature, they're out of session most of the year. Performative politics, definition two. The exercise of edge simply because you can. Or the exercise of power and leverage in a manner that actually harms constituents or doesn't get done what the vast majority of your constituents want. That is Robin Voss. Now, I would say performative politics definition one isn't morally bankrupt. It's just an ego enterprise, right? Like, oh, I just want attention. That's what performative politics definition one is. Attention-seeking behavior. But performative politics definition two, which is all Robin Voss, the exercise or use of leverage and power for no purpose or actually for a purpose or for an end that you know will harm the majority of your constituents or go against what the majority of your constituents actually wants, that has a moral element to it. And it is deeply flawed. And elected officials, no matter what their party, that engage in this kind of politics, either the ego-stroking definition of performative politics, number one, or this power exercise in a manner that, frankly, doesn't help the middle class or causes harm. These are things that we should hold every single elected official accountable for and vote them out. And I don't care if they may be a Democrat. They deserve a vote against them if they're engaging in these things. But in this day and age, watching Republicans in state after state and on the federal level pass out tax cuts to the ultra wealthy again and again, not getting it done for our kids and middle class working families, I've had it. They got to go. And the Democrats that get in bed with them to do that, them too. Not having it anymore, Cardi. Listen, when we come back, we've got a great next guest. I'm super excited. He is Patrick Sobkowski, a professor at Marquette University. He's going to talk to us about birthright citizenship, what it means, and why Donald Trump's attempt to make the Constitution disappear with one swipe of his pen is complete garbage. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.